Sisters and brothers, grace and peace to you this day from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Who doesn't love a parade? Thank you, Terry, for kind of reenacting that for us. That was awesome. I mean, this is one of those days when there's just so much action. You know, some of the time we get a gospel text, it's a lot of narrative or prose. It's something that can't really be acted out. And this is one that, you know, there's just so much action. It's like action-packed. You know, imagine that triumphant entry into Jerusalem. That's what the Bible calls it, where Jesus comes in and you've got this parade-like setting and you've got people craning their necks to see him. You've got palm branches, people waving, people yelling, people screaming, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I mean, the raucous crowd, the yelling, I mean, it is quite a spectacle. Lots going on. And especially on this Sunday, I think kids love that, right? Because kids love action. And I think in a way we all like action. Action communicates a lot, doesn't it? It's through action and reaction and interaction that we learn about each other. You know, they say actions speak louder than words. And there's a reason for that. Because people can seem a certain way. Right? They can seem a certain way from the outside, looking at them, their appearances, their countenance, or how they speak, or what they say. But when a person acts, you really get to know who they are. It's through their behaviors that we understand what a person is like. Right? You really get to know a person after you see them in action or reacting to certain events or interacting in certain groups around different people, around different things. You get to know what people are like. And the same can be said of God. Because really, how do we know what God is like? I mean, I remember being in college, late night conversations, freshman year, staying up late, asking these theoretical, philosophical questions. And some of them were around the question of what is God like? Because different people will say different things. Can we know what God is like? The Bible says God is an invisible spirit. Well, how do you get to know what an invisible spirit is like? Well, you do through God's actions. And can't we be so ever thankful that we are on the other side of history of Jesus Christ, God who has been born into this world as Jesus of Nazareth, who reveals to us what God is like through the ways that he acts and reacts and interacts. We get to know what God is like. And that is no more the case than the events that precede and follow Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Because it is in these events that we really get a clear view of what God is like. Now think about Jesus coming into Jerusalem. He's coming in for the Passover, right? A big deal. Lots of Jewish people descend upon Jerusalem for the Passover. Jesus could have come in much more quietly than he did, right? He could have slipped into the city. He could have gone to a secret shelter. He could have just hung with his close friends. But that's not what he chose to do. He chose rather to come in as the king, in a parade, being lauded by all these people, all this hoopla, all this parade, which in effect is drawing a lot of attention to him. And you have to understand that the religious and political power brokers of that day sat up and noticed when somebody is coming in and everybody is screaming and lauding him that the king is here. Those who are in power start to get a little bit nervous. But Jesus does this with intention. You see, the king comes in and he's coming in complete control of what's going on. This was what Jesus wanted to do. Now, Jesus was not, as some people might think, a pawn in a greater narrative. That somehow Jesus was this unfortunate person who came in and under a set of unfortunate circumstances got caught up in this whole thing that led to his death. Not at all. Jesus was in control of the entire thing. He was in control of himself. He was in control of the circumstances. He was in charge of the whole thing. And as you go through the whole narrative from his triumphal entry, where he is telling his disciples to get the colt so he can come in, so he's communicating something about himself, to his last words on the cross, he is in control and in charge every step of the way. Why? Because he wants to communicate through these events the essential character of God. So let's take a look at some of those events. Jesus is in the garden. He's praying. And there come along the soldiers with their torches, led by Judas himself. And Jesus says to Judas, "Friend, for what reason have you come?" Now, he knew the reason that he was coming, did he not? I mean, it was at the supper the night before where Jesus had told the disciples what was about to take place, that he was about to be betrayed. He knew what was going on. You see, the betrayed was sovereign over the betrayer. He was in control of that event. Let's continue the event. The soldiers then surround him. They're about to arrest him. Now, Jesus at any moment could have called down a legion of angels to come to his side to defend him, had he chosen to. But he chose not to. In fact, when Peter went to his defense, pulling his sword, taking the ear off of one of the guards, Jesus said, "Whoa, stop, no, this is not my will." Right? Those who live by the sword die by the sword. And he healed the ear of the soldier. Jesus was in control of that whole setting. And then he is taken away to his trial and to imprisonment. In essence, he's leading the soldiers along the way. They are in awe of him because of what they have just seen. He gets before Pilate and Herod, and he chooses to be silent. He could have at any moment given a defense for himself that would have gotten him off the hook. Right? I mean, it was flimsy charges at him there in the first place. And they were asking for a defense. Pilate wanted to, at every turn, release Jesus. But Jesus would say nothing. Nothing to defend himself. Jesus, in his silence, was in control. And then Jesus, the way he is treated, the way he is flogged, the way he has that crown of thorns put upon him, he has chosen this as the plan of salvation for the entire world. He is in control of each circumstance, in control of himself, all along the way. It's an amazing thing. Jesus has come to be the king. But because of these circumstances and because of the way in which we are wired, we have a tendency to wonder, was Jesus really the king? What kind of king was he, after all? Because when we think of a king, we think of someone who's coming to take, not like Jesus who comes to give. We think of somebody who comes and wants us to serve them, not like Jesus who comes to serve us by pouring out his life for us. And I wonder if in this process we begin in some ways to know that Jesus is our king in some kind of spiritual or theological way, but I wonder if in our minds or in our heart of hearts we begin to trivialize him, or perhaps devotionalize him. We begin to, with our paper-thin piety, to kind of think, yeah, I've got Jesus in my back pocket. I've got my 401k. I've got my bank account. I've got my house. I've got my car. I think I've got it all lined up. We kind of think that Jesus is just one more thing, one more way to kind of make us feel good along life's journey. We begin to think, well, I can just take Jesus with me, right? Take him wherever I go. As if he hasn't already promised to be everywhere and to be with us always, even until the end of time. And the funny thing about all of this is that Jesus allows us to do this. He allows us even to say no to his lordship in our lives. Because nowhere along the way will Jesus ever twist our arm into making him Lord of our lives. Nowhere ever along the way will he force us into his arms of love and mercy. He doesn't do that. But you have to know this, that written in graffiti on some wall somewhere in the universe is a new saying. And that saying is this, that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, King of kings, and he is in control. And that is written there for everyone. If you believe or if you don't believe, if you are a person of great control of your own life or if you feel like your life is out of control, it is written there for all to see because Jesus is in control. Paul sums it up so well, doesn't he, in Philippians, when he says, God has highly exalted him and has given him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. We should make no mistake, my friends, as to who this Jesus is. Marco Polo made a very famous trip to the Far East. It's been documented well. There's been TV series done on it. When he went there, he was taken before the great and mighty and very pagan emperor, Genghis Khan. And he was nervous, because Genghis Khan was known for his brutality, and at any moment, if he gave a false word or if he did anything to upset Genghis Khan, Genghis Khan could quickly do away with him, and he had done away with many people before. Marco Polo wondered what he should say, how he should approach this incredible personage of Genghis Khan. And so he thought to himself, you know, I'm going to share with him the story of Jesus Christ, as it's in the Gospels. He started to tell Genghis Khan about Jesus. And when he got to the point in the story of Jesus' trial and his being scourged and the mockery that Jesus experienced, Genghis Khan began to get real agitated and real upset. And he got to the edge of his chair, and you could tell that he was quite engaged by the story. And when Marco Polo said these words, then Jesus bowed his head and yielded up his spirit, Genghis Khan couldn't control himself any longer. He burst out of his seat, and as history tells us, he said these words, "What did the Christian's God do next? Did he send thousands of angels from heaven to smite and destroy those who killed his son?" What did the Christian God do next? Well, we know he watched. He watched, because he knew his son was in control, and that his son had chosen this way to ascend to his throne in God's kingdom. He had chosen this way intentionally because he wanted us, those whom he came to serve, those whom he loves, to know that there is no depth to which he was not willing to go, no pain that he was unwilling to experience, no suffering that he was not willing to take upon himself, so that he might be made known to all and enter into anyone's life, no matter where they are or what they're going through. He chose this route because this was the kind of king he was choosing to be. We know his heart through his actions. There was an army soldier who was given very remote duty in his charge as an army officer, so remote that he was very lonesome for his wife. He was thankful that there were seven other soldiers that were also serving nearby, and he wrote his wife saying how lonely he was, and if it wasn't for these other seven soldiers that were also stationed there, that he doesn't know how he would get along. He was so lonely in this barren and desolate place. Soon after sending that letter, it was his birthday, and upon his birthday, he received a large box from the United States. Of course, it was from his wife. He opened it, wondering what kind of present must she have sent. I mean, this is a large box. But as he opened it, he realized, no, it wasn't one present. It was eight presents, one for him and one for each of his other soldiers who were there alongside him, caring for him, keeping him going while he was so far away from her. With tears in his eyes, he handed out these gifts to those other seven soldiers, and he said to them, "Yeah, that's just like my wife. Yes, sir, that's just like my wife." Because it was through her actions that she revealed her heart. She revealed her nature. She showed what she was like. We enter now through the doors of Holy Week. And as we enter through these doors, we will see the actions of Jesus. You're going to hear a lot of words this week. Pay attention to the words, but I want you to especially pay attention to the actions. See what it is when Jesus is mocked, when he is scourged, when he is brought to trial. Watch his actions, and in his actions, see his love for you. For when he puts his arms up on that cross, he is embracing you in his love and his forgiveness and his mercy and his grace. And when you see him upon that cross, perhaps you too will be able to say, yep, that's my God for you. Yes, sir. That's what my God is like. Amen.